everybody. Welcome to episode 38 of Game Over Nation. I am your host, Javi Rodriguez, with Ryan De La Rosa.
Hi, everybody.
And Dylan Roush.
Shit.
Shit, indeed.
That's right. And our totally unpaid intern, Gabe Philbin.
Shit. Or Solomon, yeah.
Oh,
double shit.
Hey, guys. All right, let's talk about what's been going on this week in the gaming industry.
Okay.
A lot of Sony news. It looks that they're gonna, or they've patented this week, a tablet controller. It looks very similar to the Wii U.
Oh, surprising. Sony taking others' ideas?
That's an old patent.
Is it?
Yeah. It's a, like,
someone just dug it up.
No, it's apparently a really old patent. Well, not really old, but older than, like, Wii U news.
Older than time.
I think, yeah, that was what I read. And they just never, they never did anything with it.
Okay.
Oh, man, maybe they should have released it instead of, like, after the Wii U was announced, so it doesn't seem like everything else Sony comes up with.
Well, me and Foz were having a conversation about the Wii U earlier this week, and this came up. We're like, you know, that's a great idea. I mean, it really is.
Yeah, it is a good idea. You just got to implement it the right way, and it seemed like Nintendo initially was, like, really implementing it in the worst way possible.
It goes back to, Ryan, you were saying that, you know, games aren't going to look that much better in the next coming generations, you know, and that's true. I mean, not just because, I mean, we're reaching a ceiling to where you can make anything you can imagine, you know, already. And yeah, you can make it a little better. You can have draw distance a little better, this, that, and the other. But let's face it, now it's up to the designer's imagination. So what's the next step in, or what's the point of releasing a new console if, you know, the graphics isn't the main thing? And I think that's all about input. It's about the hardware, you know, what your controller.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, man, they should do something where you can, like, move your hands around and, like it does shit in the game.
Connect.
Oh, and I think that's the road that Microsoft
that's the
is
joke.
Going down.
That's the joke.
Yeah, I think Microsoft planted their seeds early, and I think the Kinect is going to be a big part of the next-gen Xbox. But I don't know if that's what Sony should do, you know? I think
Sony should just stick to their guns and just do DualShock, and that's it.
You think so?
Yep.
They fuck up everything else.
Exactly.
Well, we started talking about how the Dreamcast had UMDs. And those weren't used as good as they could, but there was cool features with certain games, like in Resident Evil Code Veronica, you had your health bar on there at all times, so you didn't have to pause, like in all Resident Evils, to see if you're in caution or not, you know? So that was a really cool
feature.
Wait,
they have UMDs?
Or was it UMDs? Or UD? What the hell are they called?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't think they were called UMDs.
I think it was
they were called UMDs.
UVDs?
It wasn't UVDs.
I think they were BVDs.
Let's look it up.
Yeah, look it up, because that's going to bother me.
Dreamcast.
But the benefits outweigh, or are even more than that. You know, it's not just another screen to put more data on, but you can...
Was it VMUs?
VMUs, that's right.
I had the V part.
That's right.
I can't even find it yet.
And then I also listed underwear.
Oh, there it is.
The BVDs.
I think that like making an RTS on a console has been such a hard thing to do because of that. And these are like this kind of controller is perfect for it. And just all sorts of different things. And I don't even think a stylus is necessary. Just use your thumbs. And you know, I mean, that's what we're doing with cell phones every day now. So that
But I still want actual buttons and shit because those superimposed things are shitty.
Before we get too far away from the VM views, whatever, does anybody remember the Pocket Station?
No.
Which was
I remember
the exact same thing except from Sony.
No.
Really? No, I don't remember what it was. I remember the name.
I just remember that.
The only other thing I remember plugging into a controller was the fucking Rumble Pack for N64. So.
You plugged this one into the memory card slot, if I remember.
That's gonna be fun to look at.
Anyways, I remembered that.
I think this is a good thing. And they're gonna get a lot of flack as always. But.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it all just depends on how they deliver it.
Right.
It's like Sony. Well, Sony had iToy before Microsoft had Kinect, but Microsoft did it way better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I don't think there's any way though you can release a controller now with a screen on it without catching that Wii U. You know, that you're ripping them off.
Yeah. Unless they say like we're
perks
not ripping
of being
off
first
Wii U.
First out the door.
Hey, we're whipping off. But either way, that's cool. Yeah. So there's that. okay. Also, Little Big Planet Kart Racer for the Vita is rumored.
Mod Nation.
Mod Nation Racers.
Yeah, and that's a big threat for Mod Nation.
That's okay.
Is it because
it
sounds like the exact same thing?
Yeah. Although I think it'd be better.
Yeah, it's like I saw someone tweet. I thought the Little Big Planet Kart Racer was called Mod Nation Racers. exactly that.
Like, isn't that how they marketed it? The whole
pretty much. I don't want this play, game. Create, Mod Nation's share. Already in my purgatory.
I think that
games
Mod Nation,
burning for eternity.
Mod Nation almost hurts itself because it's exclusively a kart racer, and I think Little Big Planet. I don't know. I'm pulling this out of my ass, but I think that Little Big Planet has potential to let you create. All sorts of crazy racers.
Mod Nation was hurt by a lot of things, including everywhere you went, purchase this car!
Sure.
And then in order to use anybody's user-created items, you had to go buy the car packs. Mm-hmm. And they were expensive. $2.99 for a fucking Scooby-Doo pack.
Load screens up the ass. It really feels almost like you're playing a free-to-play game.
It does!
There's so many... Yeah, there's so many hoops and ads and shit all over.
It's a Facebook game. Why don't? There we go. I'm gonna go pitch those Mod Nation guys right now. Let's go make a Facebook
Mod Nation
game.
Racers to
Facebook.
Wait, who's the developer behind Mod Nation Racers?
Fuck if I know.
Don't remember.
Whoever they are, I trust Media Molecule more.
Yeah, and like I was gonna say that if this is as customizable and open-ended, and like if this is as good as Little Big Planet 2 was, because let's face it, Little Big Planet 2, it's so diverse you can make Zelda in it. That's nuts.
Yeah.
So if you do something like if it's that open-ended on a Little Big Planet game that's like all about driving,
you can make Zelda a racer now.
Well, I mean, you could potentially make a 3D game. You know,
it starts off with like the Zelda theme.
I
expect bust into like Fuel by Metallica.
Tons of Diddy Kong Racing things. Like,
no, just like even right now in my head, I can picture taking this taking a blank slate, a create world in this game, and having NPCs all over the place that you drive up to. Maybe you can hide the car, make it like a walking person or something, or I don't know. But either way, like. You can have it where you walk up to people, you talk to them, you complete tasks. You could make a whole different game, potentially, if it's as if there's as much resources as there are in Little Big Planet 2. But, like I was saying, if it's strictly just racing, you can make more than a kart racer. And I like that...
Why not just have Little Big Planet 3 have this capability, then?
Maybe that's what it is?
Maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. See, the problem with...
think of that, smart guy?
I did.
Facebook.
It'll be like Crash Team Racing.
Well, the problem with Little Big Planet, it's still kind of stuck on that 2D plane, but with the racer, you're not. Yeah. Racer, you are walking along that X-axis, or Y, what is it? The Z-axis. You know, you're going deeper. I want to put an Inception sound effect right there. I'll probably forget to. But, yeah.
Nah, dude, we... There's a lot of production that goes into the end, back end of this thing, so
absolutely.
I don't see why you'd forget.
No way. But that's cool. Also, Sony is ditching their PSP. What is it?
UMD. Passport.
You can't bring your UMDs over to the Vita in North America.
Yep.
So that's pissing a lot of people off.
Well, I mean, they did it before, so.
Doesn't mean you have to be happy about it.
I'm not happy about it.
Well,
I mean, I didn't.
The way they were doing it in Asian markets, it was bad too, right? Like you had to buy the game again, just at a discount.
Yeah, it was still like $10-$15.
So yeah, I mean, I think it's a mess. Like if we're confused and don't really understand how it works, then the normal consumer won't understand it either. So it's probably a good thing that they're just ditching it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the only game on PSP that I can think of that I'd want to like take over is Dissidia Duo,
Kakum,
Bukaki. I mean, that I downloaded that, so I'm good to go.
See, I didn't download War of the Lions. I'm stuck. Apparently, buying it again for the sixth time. I have bought Tactics 6 times over my life. What the fuck?
Did you hear that Metal Gear Solid HD Collection's coming out on Vita?
I did.
Yeah.
Would have been awesome if they announced that before I got it on PS3.
Why would you want it on the Vita if you already have it on PS3?
So it's on the go.
Yeah. You know, I'm saying I would rather play it on the go than here, because frankly, I can't sit and play Metal Gear Solid 2 for more than like 2 minutes.
That's mean.
That's no, cold, it's not. Dog. That's cold.
Damn, Gaby. You cold.
I'm cold.
Cold as ice.
I'm going to stop talking about it now.
Another news. Twisted Metal is coming out this week, and on the dawn of this, there's layoffs everywhere at EA Play, and David Jaffe, the creator of the company, is leaving the company.
To pursue childhood dream of making iPhone games.
This guy goes back and forth. He's so, like, you know, I used to praise him for being so honest and loudmouth, but it's not always good to be so honest when, honestly, you're kind of a jerk.
I don't know.
I just think that he went from, what was it, Calling All Cars, and he's like, you know what, I just want to make small games.
Calling All Cars guy?
Yeah, that's like the only other game that Eat Sleep Play made.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
They made Calling All Cars, and they're like, yeah, we just want to make small games from now. You know, I made God of War, and it really burned me out. Like, I don't want all that pressure. This is fast and small and easy to do. This is what I want to do from now on. And then Eat Sleep Play was silent for years, like 3 years, maybe 4 years. And everybody's like, what's going on? What are you making? And he had his little blog that he would update all the time and say, oh, I'm working on levels, I'm doing this, it's so exciting, you know. And then people started saying, Twisted Metal? Are you working on Twisted Metal?
And then he lied to everyone. He was like, I am not going to be at E3.
Yep. And he shows up with Twisted Metal, and I don't know, personally I thought it didn't impress me. It impressed some people, I guess. A lot of people have been really excited for it.
It's cool, I guess. I mean, it's just really chaotic and hard to handle everything at once.
Yeah, that's how the other ones were,
much about it. Yeah, so back in our day, Gabe.
There really isn't. It's the same games as the old ones, which I dig.
I used to go to my friends. Like I said, never had a PlayStation or a PS2, but I used to go to my friends' houses and play it. But then Vigilante 8 came out.
That game was the tits.
And that game was tight. And that was on N64.
Fuck out of
so
that.
So I played that all the time.
That was a good game. Wasn't there another car combat game around the same time?
Mario Kart.
No.
Yes, that was it.
Name another car combat game that rocked on both the GameCube.
WWE Crush Hour.
Is that a real thing?
Yes.
Holy shit.
It is a real thing.
Oh my god. Is Macho Man in it?
I don't know. It's I don't know.
Okay. Questions that will be answered later.
Anyways, we go from I only want to make casual games to I'm making this super big hardcore game, bring back a franchise. And it takes forever to make, I guess. And it doesn't really blow me away. And then even before it releases, it's not even out. We don't know how everybody's going to react to it. And he's like, nah, I'm out. I want to make iPhone games.
Yeah, he wants to go really small. First iPhone game he releases, Calling All Cars.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That happened.
You just tilt that bitch back and forth to drive around.
Right, finally, Tim Schafer wants to make Psychonauts 2, right? And, yes, and then Notch, the creator of Minecraft,
the Messiah, said, if you will,
yes,
for Psychonauts,
he,
yes,
publicly stated that he wants to finance Psychonauts 2. So now the internet's on fire. Everybody's super pumped about this potentially happening. But really, it's just two dudes casually talking on Twitter, and everybody's like, "Wow, confirmed."
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of
the game.
It reminds me of
WWE Crush Hour.
Yeah, yeah, Crush Hour. Jesus, wow. Christ! But it reminds me of the whole fucking Firefly debacle, like,
right,
like 6 months ago with Nathan Fillion was just like, "Yeah, if I had $300 million, I'd fucking make Firefly right now." And then everyone was like,
yeah. "Oh, did you not see the qualifier? If I had $300 million,
yeah, and young people started like trying to raise money for it, but then." I mean, this is
as
official as it gets is Notch saying, let's make Psychonauts 2.
Yep.
And I mean, it's great if it happens. And I mean, it's possible. Notch is fucking swimming in money.
Yeah, that's quite the undertaking to just,
Well, the thing is, like, being the guy that he is and, like, just what you know about him, like, I don't doubt that he will enter into serious talks about it. Yeah. Now, whether or not he actually, you know, once the numbers are laid out, and it's like, this is what it'll cost. Maybe he says, that's a little steep. But I know the discussions will happen. Like, he's not a disingenuous type of guy, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be, like, a giant, like, retail game, though. Probably it'll probably just be, like, a $15 downloadable title.
Right.
Like Double Fine's been doing, and those are much more budget-friendly, so.
You don't know.
Mm-hmm. I want to see Ubisoft tweet, "Oh, we'd really love to make Beyond Good and Evil 2, and see some other millionaires,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
let's do this."
After this Kickstarter thing that Double Fine started up, like, everyone would be like, "Oh, that weird franchise that we weren't sure would be successful, why don't you guys pay for it?"
See, that's another thing I wanted to talk about, but we got a question for it, right?
Yeah, we got, yeah.
Alright, so we'll get to it then. But, yeah, that's all the news that I got for this week. Let's talk about some new releases. Speaking of Twisted Metal, that's coming out.
Yeah.
Who's pumped for that?
I have other things to play.
I have hats to collect.
I was actually really interested in it because of how much I played it, like, when I was younger, but I haven't really kept up with it, so I don't know what it's going to look like.
It was fun. I played the demo, and I really liked it.
Also, I don't have a PS3
except for the
right
gang
now.
Rape I was experiencing.
Yeah, because you can't play online in the demo unless you're, like, ridiculously lucky. Because it's, I don't know, like, the net code's fucked up. Something, I don't know, techno mumbo jumbo. So you have to play against all the computers, and they just eventually end up ganging up on you.
That's true.
See, I could have totally been on board with Twisted Metal. And I think a lot of it has to do with their presentation. Not just in the game, but the way they've, you know, rolled out the carpet to all of us, to the media. You know, it's just like, it was kind of unfinished, or not presented well, I think. They came out at E3, and, like, they just started playing the game in the middle of a game. They're like, alright, so the goal is to do this, 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 and this, and this. And you're just watching, you're like, wait, what? And we're like, okay, well, he's driving around. You know, there's just the whole game just feels like it's overwhelming for me.
Well, the controls were really
This is before I even played it at E3 when they were like yelling at you while you were playing.
Yeah, I mean,
but
every single button does something different.
Yeah,
in this, and then it's like hit R2 and L2 while you're boosting to do super boost.
The funny thing is, it's a lot easier to do some of the specials in this than it was in the original games.
Well, if even so, like, that doesn't fly anymore. I mean, the game is not intuitive. You know, you're just overwhelmed with all these little things you need to remember to play it correctly. The cutscenes. Have you seen some of the cutscenes from the game?
Aren't they live action?
They're doing live action shit with, like, photoshopped effects on top of it, and it just looks really tacky. And it looks very PlayStation 1 era. It looks like those kind of experimental, when cutscenes were brand new and we were seeing all these funky things that people were making. And it looks like they're doing that again. And that's unacceptable. They're not doing it right, at least for me.
Well, if they're making it look like that, I would think they were just going for that.
Yeah.
The nostalgia factor with
it. Yeah, okay. Well, in that case, yeah, unacceptable is the wrong word. It's not my cup of tea. Mm-hmm. They're not selling it to me.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of things in how they presented Twisted Metal turned me off. And actually, nothing about Twisted Metal has turned me on. It's all just like, Yeah.
That sucks. What's another game that's more exciting, though?
Look for that next week. Warp is a cool...
Warp, yes.
Warp downloadable game. Fell off the map.
Yeah, people were pretty stoked about it at PAX.
About that since PAX East back... That was almost a year ago.
We saw it at PAX Prime.
Well, I wasn't
there.
It
was a cool little surprise at PAX East. Everybody was like, wow, what is this?
Yeah, it was really cool, man. I'm looking forward to it coming out. Because, you only got, like, this little bite-sized piece of it, so...
Yeah, it was, like, this little tiny, like, two-minute demo. Not even.
Yeah.
Because you could blow through it really quickly.
Well, the footage I saw of it reminds me a little bit of Explosion Man, but not a 2D side-scroller. It's an overhead thing. But it does have that kind of, you're in a lab, you're some sort of creature.
Right.
I mean, except instead of exploding people into comic little meat things, you explode them into bloody messes.
Yeah. It was surprising in that it was like, you're like this cute little thing, and then the first time it tells you to jump into a person, you're like, shake the stick back and forth, and they're all like, ah, and then they explode into this bloody mess with limbs. Like, there's like an eyeball that flies upward into your screen.
Yeah, so cool. It's like when it first happened, I was like, oh my god, I'm like Patrick Swayze in Ghost, and then... And then I, like, blew up the guy. I'm like, that didn't happen to Whoopi.
And then I was looking for the pottery room.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Demi Moore.
Oh my god, I am so sorry.
We started with a clay pot and then it exploded. Oh, it was tragic. Man. All
right, well, the PlayStation Vita comes out next week, apparently, right?
Oh, well, isn't it just for the pre-orders?
No, like early bundles.
Right, early but it was pre-orders is what got the early bundles.
No, there's an actual, like, separate bundle that's $350.
Either way, the Vita is going to be available in some form next week, and with it comes a bunch of Vita launch titles, including Uncharted, Golden Abyss.
There's like 22 launch titles.
That's cool, I guess.
If you want to do it, that's the way to do it, I guess. You know? Put out a lot of games. It's like the opposite of the Nintendo mantra.
It's interesting. I think, Gabe, are you still pioneering for this thing? Are you still a Vita fanboy?
Pioneering? Pining? Is that what you're...
Pining
for this thing? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's not pioneering, I'll say that
this,
much.
Add this to the list of things Javi didn't know.
That's so punctual.
That's fucking punctual as shit.
I'm excited for it. I'm gonna try to get it at launch.
Pining? Really? That's crazy. Listeners, write in if you didn't know that either.
Pioneering.
Pining. I'm very excited for Uncharted because I hope it's good in the single player and not all.
Right. Well, I'm not even specifically talking about Uncharted, but you were Vita. That.
There's Gravity, whatever. There's
Little Big Planet is one of the ones I would be, but I know you're not a big Planeteer.
It's okay. But what's the other one? Blaze Blue. I love me some Blaze Blue.
Oh. All right, well, Uncharted Golden Abyss is coming out next week. Hot Top Vita. Mod Nation Suckfest Road Trip.
Wow.
Little Deviants and Super Stardust Delta.
Sounds like a hell of a lot.
Super Stardust Warp, looks mighty fun, too.
Warp wins the week, I think.
I think Warp... I mean, if I had a Vita in my lap right now, I'd be like, yeah, Uncharted. But I don't know. Like, have you read a lot of preview things or reviews from Japan? Been out for a month now.
I'm ready. I mean,
Japan's totally different on Uncharted than America is, so.
Right. Well, we, like, North American news sites have had their hands on Uncharted and Vita. So.
I guess they're I'm just wondering what the embargo dates. But I mean, from what I've read from, like, previews, it's everything seems pretty positive. Like,
interesting.
People are saying the touch controls work, and I'm just, I don't really care about those.
But, yeah.
I mean, I'm excited. No Elena. Huh. Sad face, but...
That's a good thing.
No, no, yeah. You don't say things.
Also, it's a prequel, so why would there be Elena?
I know, it's a prequel. So there should
I'm
going to
predict it right now, and if I'm right, I'm so sorry. But I'm going to predict that the Latin chick that Drake hooks up with... she's going to die. And I think if they do it right, they could pull some pretty strong emotional
Not necessarily, because if everyone who got Eye of Indra remembers, there's like the Eddie Raja's like crack whore of a sister.
Uh-huh.
She didn't die.
Yeah, but they had a falling out.
Yeah, so...
It's true.
These,
she stole everything.
They could also have a falling out in this. Crazy
This
thought.
Is true. But if I'm right, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's check in with these listeners. What have we been up to, guys? Ryan?
Have I played anything? I guess I've played more Iron Brigade.
I hate that name.
Yeah, Trenched was a cool name, but mm-hmm. it was also copyrighted in Europe, so... So I guess the new DLC came out, Rise of the Martian Bear, but also the title update had the they came out, I don't know, maybe a month ago, maybe longer than that, I don't know, had like a survival mode, kind of like, you know, I guess what Horde mode has been, what everyone calls Horde mode. and so I guess this week my friends and I finally got around to trying that with all the shit that had come out at the end of the year. Getting through all that, so we finally fired up the old Iron Brigade again, and it's just as fun as it always was. They've added with the title update. They've added some, or not the title update, the DLC. They've added some new trenches and some new weapons, and they haven't changed their names to Iron Brigades. They're actually still just called trenches.
That's a shame.
Yeah. But I haven't really unlocked any of them. I only got to play a couple of the missions. So, other than that, I think that's really all. I've done a little more Skyrim, I guess. Which that game's just really long. I'm moving through it slowly, and I find myself getting sidetracked with other, you know, the smaller games on the side. I haven't played Blitz or NBA Jam. Which kind of sucks.
Well, we need to have a moment of silence for Ryan De La Rosa's PlayStation 3.
Yeah. It died.
That was good.
Was that good? That was
shit. Good.
Yeah, man, it sucks too, because, like, it was one of those things you don't even see it coming. Like, I hit power, it
you never
booted,
see it coming.
It booted it up, it went to the XMB, and then it just turned off, and now it won't turn on anymore.
And nothing will help you get over it but time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Also, man, like, I've been working out, and I can't move my arms, and I'm pretty sure tomorrow I won't be able to walk.
Ladies.
Wow. So,
ladies. Ladies. Can't walk. What up?
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to walk tomorrow. It's going to suck.
That's awesome.
Like, I can't straighten out my left arm all the way.
I don't know if you heard, but I did over 1,000.
All right, well, Gabe, what have you been doing? School, right?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just been more poopy schoolwork. But I mean, other than that, TF2, I've been playing Mirror's Edge a little bit because that's my equivalent for hobbies. No More Heroes.
Yeah.
That's about it. Nothing on PS3. NBA Jam every now and then, but not nearly as frequently as we used to, so. Just a little tiny draw.
It's only been 4 or 5 days.
Don't worry about that.
The peak of our NBA Jamage.
It seems like a lot longer.
It's like a millennia.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's really good. I'm just waiting for SSX. That's all.
Oh. Yeah, SSX.
I do a lot of things.
Well, on the weekends. You know, it's not a big deal.
I like to do bad things.
Not a big deal. I finally got around to kicking the collective ass of Orcs Must Die. Because there are multiple orcs. A
good one. Orcs did
they
die.
All they died. Die. They died die. Hard.
Oh. Hard.
By the way, let me tell this story.
What?
We all went to see Die Hard 4 in theaters, and it was full, like packed theater. And the first guy that dies in the movie is when Bruce Willis. Wait, no. This is the opening sequence when one of the hackers is at his computer, and he doesn't realize that there's a clump of C4 inside of his
in the computer?
In his computer. Yeah. Anyways, he gets an error and you're supposed to press enter. And the second he pressed enter, it blows up and his whole fucking room is bursts into flames, right? The whole theater's dead silent. This is a very serious moment. And Zach goes, "Whoa, he died hard."
Oh, that is nice.
It was fucking amazing. Anyways, continue. Dude.
Also fuck. So true.
Oh, what was that? Oh, yeah, I've been playing Dawn of War 2 Retribution. That's pretty fun. I like that they have, like, a survival mode that's pretty tough.
It's pretty tough.
It does. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm attempting to platinum Resident Evil 5.
Oh, yeah, we played through... Let's talk about Darkness and Nightmares.
Lost in Nightmares. Darkness and Nightmares.
Dark and Shadow.
Dark... Lost in... Wait, that's a different game.
Lost in Translation.
Okay.
A Resident Evil story.
So, I bought the DLC, like, 2 weeks ago, and it's taken us 2 weeks to actually get around to playing it.
This is true. This is my favorite part of the story.
This is a long time.
Yeah.
So anticipation was building up. Bobby's like, "Yeah, it's really good. It's really good," and it was really fucking good.
Yeah, right. I'm glad. Like, it even scared me. I already played through it before.
It was terrifying. Holy shit! God, that was the most intense like hour, just because you die in one hit. You get hit, you're dead.
Yeah, you need... And that's...
And it's all tightly confined hallways.
Yeah, and I think that's the formula they need to follow if they want Resident Evil to be scary with co-op.
Yes.
Also, there's that part up in the top of the mansion where it forces you to split up. Like, one person needs... Like, gets trapped inside of a room, and the other person needs to, like, hurry and like, get them out of there because the ceiling's falling down. Like, that's such an intense moment. And it, like, there's none of that in 5 in Resident Evil 5.
That is how the next game should be. They should just start over and be like, "We're gonna do an entire game of Lost in Nightmares."
Is Nicolas Cage the new head of Resident
Evil? That's what I was thinking. Oh my god.
I just designed 50 levels.
We're gonna take all those... Mangini's.
Mangini's.
Yes.
But seriously,
anyway, I watched The Weatherman the other night, and it was fucking depressing.
Oh yeah, it is. I love that movie.
You do?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's the one where he walks around with a bow on his back, right?
Bow? Oh yes. Yeah, at the end. Yes. Yeah.
Everybody.
It's depressing, but it's interesting.
Spoilers.
I don't know if I hate it. Bows. I don't hate it, but I don't know if I like it. It's an interesting movie.
Anyways. Lost in Nightmares is the direction Resident Evil should take.
Definitely.
You cannot argue this. Stop. Don't even try. My opinion is better.
My one concern going with that, though, is the reason this DLC works so well is the pacing.
Yes.
And it works perfectly as a self-contained experience. So I'm not sure if you can stretch that out into a 10-hour game, because... Think about it. Like, the way it's set up is so perfect. Like, we have a good half an hour or maybe 15 minutes of nothing but us.
Except for that walking. One time that guy was just in the hallway. And you're like, "I've never had a guy that early."
Yeah, that was weird. which was awesome. That was random. Just some fucking dudes in the hallway. I'm like, oh my god, Dylan!
We were shouting at each other over the mics. I was like, there's a guy behind me, run, run! And Javi's like, there's one behind me!
Fire everything!
Fire everything! I was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm hiding in this room. I can see it through this cage. I'm just staring at it. It won't leave.
But here's that experience. It starts out with just nothing. You're in a creepy mansion, and tension is building slowly, and that's perfect. It's almost like we're marinating for our like amazing like horror sequence that's gonna come down the pipe. So we're sitting there. It's creepy, creepy environment. I love that when you walk down a hallway, if you start going around the corner, like all of a sudden the lightning will crash outside and it'll light up the whole room and you'll see all these shadows and stuff and it's like, whoa, like that's so cool. So like that's going on for a good 10-15 minutes straight of nothing. We're just exploring. Cool. And then and then all of a sudden it forces us to split up, you know, and something tense happens, like the ceiling falling down. Dylan needs to go get me out of there. And then we finally meet up after that, and then all of a sudden shit hits the fan. Like this music rises up and there's this giant monster in the hallway. And we're like, what the fuck is that? Because we're not even like expecting anything at this point because it's been so chill the whole time. And so all of a sudden tensions rise and it gets a little frantic for a while. And then we go down into the basement. And the basement's super creepy. And it starts out like once you walk into this prison cell area, there's all these guys being hung from the ceiling and mutilated and stuff. And it's like, oh man, this isn't good. This isn't good. You know, and Dylan's all like, God, this is fucked up. And you're encouraged to like really appreciate your environment in that little chunk of DLC because there's so much to look at and it's all just really well done. And there's all the stuff to read if you're interested in that. And it makes your environment that much more creepy because the stuff you're reading, you're finding out what's been going on in this place. Mm-hmm. It just builds it perfectly, man. That was such a great experience. And then you get to the end sequence and it's just running around and trying to work cooperatively, trying to like, okay, you get him here, you get the item there, we'll meet up here, you know, because one of us has to lure the guy over, the other one has to get the crank and crank it up while you're distracting the monster. So like, it's just so well put together, and I don't know if you can do that for an entire game.
Yeah.
And honestly, I haven't played through this DLC by myself, so I don't know if it holds up when you're playing solo. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, from what you described, that sounds exactly like the somewhat Dead Space 2 spoilers, but we already spoiled it on the podcast like a year ago. You go to the Ishimura, and you're just walking around, and there's this guy that like this janitor that leaves around these audio drops of just him freaking out because he hears things in the walls. Yeah. And you're just waiting for shit to go down and it's like 10 minutes of nothing and then there's this giant hallway and you just have to run.
Yeah.
And there's just everything chasing up. Oh, that was the best part of the game.
Yeah. I think that horror games really lack that a lot these days with just that tension.
The
building
slow
up.
Burn is the best. If Resident Evil can balance that with, I would say, less combat and more of a just tense, building up tension, that would be preferable.
And I don't see Resident Evil 6 doing that because they're bringing back the stupid cover system with Chris, some other parkour.
There's a cover system, really?
Yeah, with Chris Redfield, they showed it.
They did. Well, they showed him getting in the cover, and then this fucking monster yanking him right out of it.
That's kind of
he got into cover, and then there were like other people with guns.
Shanghai.
Listeners, keep an eye on GameOverNation.com because we have a ton of cool new content in the works right now.
We do.
But yes, but we're gonna let's do a commentary for that trailer because I need to take a closer look at it. I only looked at it that one time and.
I have some serious issues.
The part I'm talking about, Chris slides in the cover. I saw a lot of people bitching about it, but that's kind of null because the monster just reaches over and just yanks him out.
Mm-hmm. It would be cool. Imagine you walk into a room and there's a bunch of zombies in there, right? Or some monster passing by, and you can either engage it right then and it'll fuck your shit up, or if you can get into cover without him seeing you, it almost turns into a stealth game and see if they walk by. like in was it Lost in Nightmare? Whatever we were just playing, what we've been talking about. In that, you walk into that prison cell area, and then you see one of those monsters that you've been trying to avoid just like walk along the ceiling, and it makes this like really creepy musical cue. It's like, and he just walks along it, and there's no way to like get his attention, but it's there to build the mood, you know, or set the mood. So imagine if you could engage them, or if it's in your interest to take cover at that point. So they could do that. That's a new gameplay element that's not in Resident Evil. Like the ability to avoid an enemy by not letting them notice you. That's pretty cool.
But what's... Mm-hmm. I don't know, like that kind of destroys tension, having the protection of cover.
Like, who said... Well, there wasn't protection. That's what I was saying.
And I'll be honest, some of the action stuff in Resident Evil is fun, is cool.
Yeah.
So, like, actually the final boss, although kind of annoying, it's pretty intense and exciting.
In 5?
No, in the DLC that we played, fight Wesker at the top of that mansion, and...
Spoiler!
Like, he just kicks the shit out of you. Like, you can't
hurt
him.
There is no chance.
But you can. You can try to figure it out and do a certain amount of damage, and there's a trophy for it, which I earned when I played with Zach. I couldn't figure it out this time. But either way, like, sometimes that action really adds it. You just gotta put it sparringly and sparingly.
Yeah, I don't know. Sparingly.
Sparingly.
You have to practice fighting with action.
Linear.
Yeah, linear. Make sure your inventory is full.
Inventory.
Inventory.
There you go.
Yeah! But yeah, I don't know. Resident Evil 6 is a big question mark. But if the guys that made that DLC are working on it and they've said that they want to make it scary again, then...
it's gonna have all kinds of weird looking giraffes.
But that was a great little tangent. Good job, Dylan.
You're welcome.
All right, is that everything you've been doing?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, okay. I've been playing Jack and Daxter HD Collection for the last 2 days.
Lucky.
Or is it just one day? Yeah, I don't know. But either way, it's fucking awesome, man. It's so good. I'm beyond words.
Wow, look at these graphics.
Like, I couldn't get to sleep last night because of that game. It was like 4 in the morning, and I was like, oh my god, like my eyes are closing, and I'm just like, okay, let me just finish up this area, because there's... I can't, for the life of me, I can't remember what the hell they're called. Basically, the stars from Mario 64. The things that you're supposed to collect in each zone. But you can see what ones you haven't collected, like, when you press start. So I'm looking at that constantly and trying to 100% every single area. I will not, like, a new area opens up, I'm like, nah, can't, will not go there at all.
Until
I finish up.
Nah, man, that ain't me.
Yeah, that ain't me, dog. Move along. So yeah, I mean... I am addicted to Jack and Daxter. I hope to finish it up pretty soon, though, because I know the second one's massive. And it's actually... I'm happy that it's almost a totally different game. Like, it's not like that. And you have a gun, so it's more of a shooter. And then it's open world, like GTA, and you have your little hover bike that you drive around in. So, yeah, I think I'm going to get a lot out of this purchase. It's only $40.
So it sounds like Jack 2 was like Sly 2.
Wait, did you say... You said... Oh, wait. Never mind.
Yeah, no, that's what I said last week about the Jack series. That it's a lot like Sly, and that the first one's my favorite, probably. I don't know, I have to play through all three, but I like the first one a lot because it's simple, and, you know, they don't mess with the formula. And then the second one, they make it all Grand Theft Auto, like open city kind of thing. But I think Jack 2 is all in the same city. It's not like Sly where you're dropped into different zones. Either way, though, yeah, I'm loving the collection. If you like Jack and Daxter, you should go to GameOverNation.com and look at our little comic we made, where it was spawned because we were talking about this interview with a Naughty Dog representative who said that they were considering going back to and doing Jack 4 after Uncharted was finished, and then they eventually decided not to. So we made a little comic making fun of that.
Fucking jerks.
Yeah. Let's see. Alright, speaking of which, along with Jack and Daxter, I've been making comics. Me and Ryan have been hard at work. Mm-hmm. 2 a week. Trying to get 2 a week in there. So that's another reason to go to GameOverNation.com. That's where we're from. Obviously. We're having another comic coming up later this week. We'll see that. And also, subscribe to us on Twitter, or follow us on Twitter, Game Over Nation, because we tweet whenever we're on Joystick or on Reddit, and we need you guys' support. We need all the support we can get. We need upvotes. We need votes on Joystick, because that's what gets more people seeing our stuff, and that helps everybody.
So, yes.
Yeah, definitely follow us, because we'll be letting you know when new stuff goes up. And finally, the Spider-Man trailer. Like, I thought it was going to go up during the Super Bowl, but it did not, and I was really sad. But it went up the day after. The night after, I guess.
3 in the morning.
That's right.
That was fun staying up for.
It was worth it. It's worth it. Like, everybody that's still a longtime fan knows how much I love Spider-Man. I can go on forever about it. And this looks like the movie equivalent of what I've always wanted. So I couldn't be happier. But the thing is, the trailer has a few things that, I don't know, but I'll get to that on some other content.
He has golden eyes. Oh no, I don't like the golden eyes.
See, Gabe took this little complaint and fucking ran with it. And he's going for the touch zone.
But if you'd like to know what Javi really thinks about Spider-Man, there's an article about that.
Yeah, go to GameOverNation.com and see my write-up on the Spider-Man trailer. Yeah. Alright, well, I think someone's here.
Housekeeping!
Hey girl!
Hey beautiful. What up? Alright, take a seat over here, Lori. Alright, we're going to talk about some listener mail. Gabe, last week you announced a little contest.
It's an impromptu contest because I'm fed up with people being not writing any.
Gabe's fed up with loneliness, with all his internal stress. Okay. Yeah, what was your contest, Gabe?
Alright, so, simple. You write in a thought-provoking question. Usually involving us, you know, like listing entire rosters of NFL teams, for example. But that's one example you could use to elongate the question.
That'll provoke some thoughts.
But you simply write in a question of a thought-provoking nature, and if we deem it the winner, I buy you a $10 game on Steam, such as. Uh-huh.
Well, right now, Solar Ryan, Venus. How many questions we got sitting there on your end?
One, two.
All right, two. I'm sitting on two. Should we go along with four questions, or should we wait another week?
We can go along with four.
Right. Yeah, why not?
We got five if you count this spam.
Yeah, that's right.
I do. Personally, I do. Don't count out the spam. They're people, too.
Yeah, no. Spam. It's delicious. All right, first up, we got a new listener who wrote in. He took the time to write in, but on top of that, he took the time to subscribe to our YouTube channel, which I love you for this, because I've been trying to get that baby off the ground for a while, and baby don't give me no love.
I'm amused that a new listener has done this.
He's taken initiative. Prototype 115. I love you, brah. He also goes by Jeff on the internet.
His real name is Prototype.
Were you a Resident Evil villain? Anyways, Jeff writes in, and he says, "Hello, I'm a new listener, and I love the podcast." Well, thank you.
Shit, dude.
My question for the contest is, if you were to pick a roster of 38 fighters for the next Super Smash Brothers for the Wii U, what would it be? Now, Jeff,
we appreciate your enthusiasm.
Dude, 38. Come on, bro. Let's each name three.
I don't know 38 people
in the world.
So wait, this is for which game?
Smash Brothers for the Wii U.
38 three players.
Three
characters.
Three.
Don't forget about the DLC, though.
Downloadable content.
Well, like, are there any stipulation? Like, does it have to be a Nintendo?
Yeah.
Or could, like, we get anything?
Or if it's a third party, it has to have appeared on a Nintendo console.
Yeah. So, like, Snake and Twin Snakes. And...
For more than, I would say more than one console, since, I mean, anyone could. I've got mine already. I would say King K. Yeah.
King K. Rool.
Wait.
King K. Rool.
Is that the Donkey Kong guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. For some reason, I thought I got it wrong. But yeah, King Krule, K. Rule, Girahim from Skyward Sword, and I had one more on the top of my head. Oh, Ridley.
Yeah, Girahim's a good one.
Who?
Ridley.
Ridley, yeah. Yeah.
But Girahim is the one that I think of off the top of my head, especially Girahim, with Skyward, really cool. Skyward Sword.
And all right. Skyward Sword, I would say... What's that
big buff guy with the faux hawk?
Bruce! Yeah. Oh my god, you're about to get groosed.
That's assist trophy.
No, bullshit. You are grusing for a bruising.
So yeah, I would have bruise. This is like three addition to the 38 that you can name yourself. So Groose, there's another one I was thinking of. I think something like from Metroid, other than just Samus.
What
like,
is there? Ridley, yeah, Samus, really, and
I think like the last Dark Samus? Metroid, the last Raid? Metroid. They could make that work. It could
what's
be
the,
like.
What's the Metroid gonna? Oh, that's
you put Kraid's fat ass in. Or those little baby Kraids that you.
I was like, isn't Kraid fucking huge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would love to see Beetle from Zelda.
Oh! Thank you!
Yeah. But no, I think Dylan has something with this Girahim character.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I would be almost insulted if he's not in the next one.
Yeah, it would seem kind of odd.
Yeah. I mean, he already has a sword.
Okay, well, I'm gonna drop one that I don't hear anybody say, which blows my mind. I want Little Mac in fucking Smash Brothers. I want to be Little Mac. I can't believe he was just an assist trophy in the last one. That was bullshit.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. On top of that, I think character costumes is a huge missed opportunity. Like, have different, not just colors, just
Wario had an alternate costume.
Yeah! Like, if he could have one, why can't others? Like, I think Mario should have Dr. Mario as an alternate costume, and then he should have Paper Mario, I think would be interesting. Like, he plays exactly the same.
But is Wario the only one that has an alternate costume?
As far as I know, yeah. Oh, and Zelda and Sheik.
Well, right, they're the
Samus
same character.
Zero Suit Samus also.
And those if you count, those are the same count Pikachu's multiple hats.
I meant Wario had his biker outfit, and then he had this...
And then his classic.
Yeah, whereas those other guys, those are just their special abilities.
I want to see an Animal Crossing, like, ooh, maybe Tom Nook.
KK Slider.
Or KK Slider smash a guitar over someone's head. That'd be sick.
Maybe Klaus from Mother 3. It's Lucas's brother.
Klaus.
Klaus.
I'm just gonna, not Porky? I'm gonna throw out Trigger Happy from Skylanders. And Drobot from Skylanders. And Chop Chop from Skylanders.
I want Hobby Boy from Real Steel.
I want Baby Boy from Real Steel.
What about and, Baby Bowser?
Skylanders was on the Wii, though.
Baby Bowser, I think. Yeah. That'd be nice.
I didn't play Skylanders on the Wii, but it was on the Wii.
Well, if you want to pull that card, then I want Travis Touchdown in there. He's fucking awesome.
You said the character Travis that appeared on the Wii.
Oh, okay.
And
Travis Touchdown, I want him in there. What's her face from Okami? I guess she's in all of her Capcoms. So never mind.
Yeah, the Capcom.
Beautiful man. Joe would be awesome in Smash.
Oh, man. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
He's also in Marvel vs. Capcom.
He sure is. Yeah. All right. Well, he also asked what we want as DLC, but you know what? These are characters that we generally want in there.
I want those from launch. I don't want to buy...
Okay, let's humor him. As far as DLC, instead of just saying DLC, let's name a character from any game, from any company that we would like to see in Smash Bros.
Marcus Fenix.
You're a fucking prick. I'm gonna stick with that.
Well, then you could get like.
He didn't even pause. You're a fucking prick. I'm not even.
Crash Bandicoot.
Ethan Mars.
Master Chief or Isaac?
Mr. Chef.
Isaac would be cool. I would love to see Isaac.
Oh, man.
Could you imagine, like, his grab? Because I know that... Who was it?
Now you guys got me thinking about that title fight game again. Remember that?
I know.
It's not going to happen.
That wasn't real.
Hey, we don't know it's not real.
No, oh, wait, no, we need... We need Johnny Gat. We need Johnny Gat from Saints Row, dog.
Okay, this is just getting out of hand now.
GLaDOS. I think that would be Katamari. a Portal 2 level with GLaDOS just talking shit in the
and
background.
Shell could be a character.
What?
Shell. The character in the game.
The main character of Portal 2.
Yeah.
Shell.
Oh, okay. Right. All right, well, that was good.
That was fun.
Well,
that was fun.
I say. And even with all that, we probably didn't list 38 people.
I know.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. I was counting.
All right, Stein Gollin, long-time listener.
Stein Gollin.
He's like, hi.
Hi.
What are some of your guys' most anticipated games of 2012? My pick will be Resistance Burning Skies for Vita.
There's another Resistance game?
Yeah,
I guess.
Vita.
I didn't even hear about it.
It hasn't been shown too much. But, I mean, obviously...
Big Resistance fan here. That's unusual.
I mean, is Bioshock Infinite. I mean, there's not even a question about it. That's like...
Oh. Who?
Biggest game of 2012 for me right now is probably SSX or Lollipop Chainsaw. Like, I'm not feeling this year too much. Like, I don't feel like there's a Uncharted 3.
There's a Mass Effect 3. What are you talking about?
No, for me. No, I like Mass Effect. I don't love Mass Effect.
I'm about to blow your mind, Javi, because you forgot about this.
Yeah. What's that?
Zone of the Enders HD.
Oh, wait. Wait, is Resident Evil 6 slated for this year?
Yeah, November.
Is. November.
Oh my god. Oh my god, Resident Evil 6.
mine is still going to be Borderlands 2.
Yeah. There's a whole lot coming out this year, but... Dude,
I'm still on Bioshock. The toss-up of Resident Evil and Zone of the Enders, even though Zone of the Enders is a 7-year-old game.
Dude, Resident Evil 6 is this year? Ah! Yeah, baby! Oh my god, Seaman won the contest. Steingolin. Sorry, his name is Seaman. The Jorkland.
Are you sure it's not Simon?
Not Seaman, yo.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, Ryan, it's on you.
Alright, Nacho So Serious?
So Dude.
It's not dope anymore, he changed it.
No. Serious tone now, man.
He asks, which do you prefer, Emma Stone as a blonde or redhead?
Redhead.
Redhead.
I like a girl with darker hair as it is, but she just looks
really... Speaking of redheads,
yeah, she does.
I saw this girl on the T, which is the public transportation system, and my god, I almost fell over.
Urban youth.
I almost...
Hey, this reminds me of the episode of Coupling, where he sees that chick on the train every day, but he only sees the back of her head. He's in love with her.
No, I've only seen this girl once. No.
You should talk to her.
Dude, everyone on the train was looking at her.
I've got too many legs.
And it was just, I just felt really awkward because I was like next to her and like getting kind of like woozy.
Because she was so good looking?
Dude, it was shocking.
Oh, Gabe, you're fucking adorable.
I've been called that before.
Oh my god. You started getting woozy because she was too attractive.
Dude, it was life changing.
Alright, well, what was Nacho's question? Was
that was about the first time I saw Olivia Wilde.
That was it, just asking blonde or
redhead.
And we've answered it. Redhead.
You know, Emma Stone has that unusual hotness.
Blonde.
She has a lisp, she looks kind of goofy, but it's hot. She pulls it off.
Yeah.
You want to talk about goofy looking people, we can talk about Amanda Seyfried. She looks like Gizmo. Had this conversation many times.
You know, I thought Gizmo, and I knew it was Gremlins, but I had Johnny 5 in my mind.
Amanda Seyfried looks like Johnny 5.
I was like,
Los locos kick your ass.
No disassemble.
Los locos kick your face. Los locos kick your balls into outer space.
Oh man!
Oh, I remember the last time I did that. Gabe goes, "What?"
I heard they were doing a remake for that movie.
Gabe is so young.
No, you're so just old.
Thanks. Now I know what I'm going to say at work all day tomorrow.
All right. Our next question from Twitter comes from Justin. Justin Das.
I've heard of him.
How do you guys feel about Double Fine using Kickstarter to fund a game project?
Double Fine!
I think it's actually a really cool idea.
Yeah. I mean, like, if people want the game enough.
It raises my eyebrow, though, because I don't know why they're doing it. I mean, it's...
Because Tim Schafer's sick of making fucking Kinect games.
Well, it's weird because...
He wants to make games.
I can only imagine the game being free to play then, because you're paying for the game to be made, but then you pay for it on top of it.
But not everybody.
No, you don't. If you donate $15, you get the game.
Like what the Angry Video Game Nerd is doing, where he's an independent filmmaker, and he wants to get this project off the ground. And there's a difference between that and a fucking studio that has made multiple games. They're veterans in the industry, and like that studio is asking for funding.
Well, I could see it as trying to use it as a measure of how much people want the game. Yeah. Like, they're asking for $400,000. I don't know how much it costs to make a game, but that seems like not that much.
They've broken $100,000, and he's like, that's more than it costs to make Monkey's Island.
I think they're already over $200,000.
Oh, wow, that's even more than I remember.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very enticing. If you pay $30,000, you get a picture of... What's his name, Dylan?
Ron Gilford.
No, not Tim Schafer. Ron something.
Burgundy?
No, you fucker. If Dylan would just answer.
Ron Swanson?
It was a picture of someone smiling.
You literally just get a picture of someone smiling.
And then if you pay $35,000, you get an undoctored picture of the same person smiling.
What? I don't know. Like, I don't have any negative feelings towards this. I'm just curious what's going on over there.
I mean,
if the same thing happened with Mirror's Edge 2,
I'd be all over that.
Gabe, it's Ron Gilbert.
Ron Gilbert.
That's an interesting thing, though. Like, if this entire project is funded by fans who donated, will this catch on?
Yeah, will it catch on? And then how will pricing schemes... adjust accordingly.
It said if you donated $15 or more, you get the game.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's brilliant. Yeah, I'd donate. Good. I would totally donate.
That's cool. That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, if they're doing that, then there's no reason to think it's... Yeah. There's no reason to have any negative thoughts towards it.
Yeah. Good on you. Wow, changing the game.
Yeah. Marcus.
And you know what? I like this rate. They're going to end up making more than they need way before.
Yeah. Right.
Before it's ready to go.
That's so smart.
I mean, then they can use the extra money for Psychonauts.
The thing is, this is an isolated incident in that you need a studio that has a fan base that loves the studio.
Yeah, so you think about it, the only thing going on is a new adventure game.
Yeah, it's a point and click.
Yeah, people are donating thousands of dollars, and they don't even have a font for the title.
I
guarantee you it's going to be light years more polished and well-produced than fucking Back to the Future.
Well, yeah,
these guys are game designers!
They trailblaze that shit. Monkey Island, Day of the Tentacle.
Oh, yeah, maybe, and Telltale maybe Games like can't make a polished title for the life of them.
Maybe they'll do like Grim Fandango. Reboot.
I don't know. Outlook grim.
Thank you for listening to Game of Reaction.
All right, I think.
But what I was trying to say was, I like this because he actually gets to make something he really wants instead of doing something what the studio, what the publisher wants, or what that kind of shit, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would love to actually see Grim Fandango 2, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, you don't never know. It's a fan-funded game. They can really do anything.
We do have one more comment.
Oh, here's the big one.
From Suzanne Medina 4, who says, "What's up, babe? I want to talk. Message me at Yahoo at RockThisChicky or AIM at RockThisChicky."
God damn.
You do not win, ma'am.
But if you do want to talk, you can hit us up at mail@gameovernation.com or on Twitter.
We have to also pick a winner now.
Okay, so after much deliberation and name-calling, we've decided that the most thought-provoking question this week and winner of the $10 grand prize is Jushin. That's right. Even though he likes Mission Impossible 2, we won't hold that against him. We're very open-minded.
Open-minded. Not really.
That's right. Not really. But if you would like to have your questions read on the podcast, you can write into mail@gameovernation.com or follow us on Twitter @GameOverNation and tweet at us and see our articles and comment on the site. Make sure to let us know you've been checking it out. Alright, well, if you want to fucking friend us on Facebook, you can. And subscribe on YouTube.
You can find us on Facebook.
We have all our links on our sidebar. Get down on it. Get down on it. Alright.
Get down on it.
You can support the nation by buying a print of a comic. I will sign it and thank you personally and send it to you.
He might even call you handsome in it.
I just may. Even if you're a woman.
Yeah. You don't discriminate.
That's a handsome. God damn, Lori,
you look handsome.
So handsome.
That makes me uncomfortable.
If you want to continue hearing us,
you can donate Dylan too. Uncomfortable. You can donate.
Yeah, you can click the donate button. That makes Dylan uncomfortable too. Until next week, we'll be back with episode 39 of the Game Over Nation podcast. I am your host, Javi Rodriguez, with Ryan De La Rosa.
Bye bye.
Dylan Roush.
Bye.
And Gabe Feldman.
Congratulations, Jushin.
Fuck!